But tonight we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapters, mostly chapters 29 and 30, and that can be found on page 207. We'll be looking a little bit at 27 and 28, and this is coming up to the time of the end of Moses' time with the people. And you have to remember that Moses is out, he is speaking to the whole nation as we read this. It's quite an amazing thing just to try and imagine Moses speaking to this whole nation. I will read certain chunks as we continue through this sermon, but keep your pages open there. But first of all, I want to start off and talk about choices. Choices, choices, choices everywhere. We make choices every day, really important choices and unimportant choices, like the most important choice of the day, what will you have for breakfast? Weetabix, obviously. To what route will you go to work? And I always will go the wrong way. I always go, wherever I go, there's queues. It's just the way it is. What you watch, what you do with your spare time, who you will date, who you will marry. Lots of choices, lots of decisions to be made. I would say that the most important choice we can make is the one about who we will spend the rest of our lives with, outside, obviously, of choosing Jesus. The most important decision I ever made was asking Karen out. And I was actually going to tell you the story about it, but I don't want you to think I'm sad and like kind of a stalker. I knew I had to ask Karen out one day, and I was trying to pluck up the courage to do this outside the Presbyterian chaplaincy. And then this guy came up and started talking to us. Totally annoying guy. And he wouldn't leave. And I was like, I need to ask her out, but you're here. And anyway, I was so nervous, and I was so pathetic that she took pity on me and said yes. So I just take pity. If it works, go for it, like, you know. But the consequences of that decision, of that choice, has influenced my life and so many, if not all, of my decisions since then. No longer do I live for myself, but I live to please Karen, the one who I love, whom I chose to love. Now, the people of Israel have been brought to a time where they need to choose. The people of Israel had come to the end of their time in the wilderness. In chapters 29 and 30, we have the third of Moses' three speeches to his people. This is a big speech. This is an important speech. This is a speech about covenant renewal, the renewal of the agreement before God and his people before he takes them over the Jordan into the promised land. Tonight, we will see Moses, the father, the leader of this nation, calling his people. His people who he loves, he'll be saying to them to choose to live for God and not against God. As he said at the end of Deuteronomy in chapter 30, verse 15 on, says this, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." just from the language of that, you can see that he desperately wanted the people to choose to live for God when they entered the promised land. And therefore, to experience the blessings of God and not to be against him. And not to experience the curses that would come from rejecting God. He gave them the choice, life or death. They had to choose. There's an interesting little verse in chapter 29, verse 4. It says, "But to this day, the Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear." In order to make the right choice, they needed to understand. They needed to see and they needed to hear. And we will look at this now. Throughout Deuteronomy, we see that in order to help the people to make the right choice, they needed to understand what God had done. Moses had taken the time to lay before the people the big picture. In his previous speeches in Deuteronomy, he had spoken about all that God had done for the people, bringing them up out of Egypt, the battles they had won, all that he would give them and all he would do for them in the promised land. He warned the people about the importance of keeping the laws and to pass them on and to pass on the stories of God and God's might down through the generations. Then, from chapters 5 to 26, he basically preached about the Ten Commandments and applied them to their life in the promised land so that the people would know how to live as God's people in the promised land, so that they would live and experience blessing to help them. Moses gave them the big picture so they knew what was going on. The context of everything. And then, in order to help the people to make the right choice, they also needed to see the consequences of their choice. Sorry, Sarah, I think we're on about 5 clicks. And one more. Yep, thank you. They needed to see the consequences of their choice. In chapters 27 and 28, we have what is called the covenant curses and covenant blessings. They are the consequences of living for God or against God. First, we have the blessings. And we read these in chapter 28, verse 3 on. It says, "You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, calves and of your herd, and the lambs of your flock. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that your enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in 7. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he has given you." He states the blessings. Then after this, we have stated the curses for living against God, for following other gods. It says it in verse 16 of chapter 28. Basically, it's the ante of everything I've just said. "You will be cursed in the city, cursed in the country. The basket and the kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of the womb will be cursed. The crops of the land, the calves, the lambs. You will be cursed when you come in, cursed when you go out. The Lord will send curses, confusion, and rebuke you in everything you put your hand to. The Lord," in verse 25, "will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will come at them from one direction, but they will flee, but will flee from them in 7. And you know, the curses continue in this chapter to the end of the chapter, which is verse 68, with all manner of disaster and humiliation upon them for rejecting God. And it is actually, if you read through this, it is really difficult reading. Really difficult and hard to read. It includes also when the exile will be taken by another nation. It says that in 64. But we know, with the benefit of hindsight, that they did not fulfill their promises, that they did go into exile, and these curses came upon them, even some of the really nasty ones that you will read there. It was very simple, and we see it throughout Deuteronomy. God wanted to bless the people. He wanted to give them life, but that blessing had a condition. And it's at the start of that section on curses and blessings in 28 verse 1. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessings, life. And if they went against God, it had consequences, the curses and death that would come in verse 15 of 28. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Curses, death. The choice Moses put before the people was one of living for God or living for other gods. In order to help the people to make the right choice, they needed to see the consequences and understand the consequences of their choice and how they would live. And then, in order to help the people to make the right choice, they needed to hear the truth. The heart of God is love and grace, and that's the truth. And this is important. After you read a list of curses like we find in chapter 28, we can come away thinking that God is vengeful. That isn't the heart of God. The heart of God is love and grace. We see this in how he delivered them from Egypt, how he protected, guided, blessed them, how he instructed them, giving them the big picture, warning them of the consequences of following other gods. Out of love, God wanted what was best for them, blessings, not curses. So he warned them. It's also important to see that God wasn't asking them to do the impossible. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 11, it says, "Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach." How often do we need to apply that little verse to our own lives when we think what we need to do to please God is too much? "Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach." It was within their ability to do, but as we know, their will to obey just wasn't there in the long run. They easily ran after other gods. As a loving God, he gathered all the people together and clearly stated what to do and what not to do, ensuring that they heard it and that they understood it. God is fair. We also see his love and his faithfulness in this passage at the very end of 30, where he talks about the land he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God was faithful to his word, the promises he gave to Abraham over 400 years before that. God kept his word. God is a faithful God, a God of love. He made Abraham's people his people. We also see grace in chapter 30. Even though, or even through, all that God had done for his people, God knew his people would turn away from him and that the exile would happen. In verse 1, he says, "When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come upon you and you take them to heart, wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations." See, God is gracious and compassionate. Read verse 2. He knew that they were going to experience the blessings, but also the curses because they would turn away. But then he says this, "And when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you." When we return to God, he is compassionate. He forgives. He restores. In fact, he more than restores. In verse 5, he will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers, more than restores, gives bountifully. In order to help the people to make the right choices, they needed to hear the truth. They needed to know the heart of God, and that the heart of God is love and grace. And then in order to help the people to make the right choice, the people needed to be prepared to keep the covenant. They were entering into a covenant, a promise with God. And God called them to carefully follow the covenant. He had them in front of him, all of the people, the children, the adults, the leaders. They were standing there in front of God to enter a covenant with him. All of them had to carefully follow the terms with their hearts. But God knew that there was temptations around him. So Moses said to them, and he warned them about before in chapter 29, verse 16, "You yourselves know how we lived in Egypt and how we passed through the countries on the way here. You saw among them their detestable images and idols of wood and stone, of silver and gold. Make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord your God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison." In order to make the right decision and to stick with it, they had to have no root of longing for the temptations from the nations around them and follow false gods. But they were to have their hearts fully on God, fully for God, pure hearts with no root of temptation. God warned them in verse 19. "When such a person hears the words of this oath, he invokes a blessing on himself and therefore thinks, 'I will be safe, even though I persist in going my own way.'" This attitude would bring disaster. Moses was saying, don't delude yourselves. You can't look for the blessings from God and then live your own way, living against God. It was a heart thing. In order to make the right choices and to stick with it, they had to have hearts fully for God. 30 verse 6, "The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live." New hearts for God. New hearts for God was the only way they would keep this covenant, keeping their promise. At the end of his time, Moses said to the people, "Now choose life." To help them to make the right choice, he ensured that they understood all that God had done for them. He ensured that they saw the consequences and understood the consequences of their choice on that day. That they heard the truth, that they knew that the heart of God was one of love and of grace, and that they were prepared to keep the covenant. Moses was faithful to God, doing what was asked of him. And he said, choose God. Experience blessings. Choose life. What does all of this mean for us? What can we learn from it? Well, we are gathered here in the presence of God now. Maybe some of us need to remember our promise that we made to God maybe many years ago to follow Him. Maybe some of us, like the people of Israel, need to renew that covenant, need to renew our promise with God, or maybe even to make that promise with God for the first time. As we look at the cross of Jesus and all that Jesus won for us, we need to look at it and we need to choose life. Like the people of Israel, to make the right choice, we need to understand what God has done for us through Jesus. John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How Jesus died on the cross, becoming a curse for us, taking our curse. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. To make the right choice, we need to see the consequences of our choice. In Matthew 25, we have a picture of the sorting of the sheep and the goats when the Lord returns. And it says that He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on the right, those who have accepted the Lord and live for the Lord, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And then to those on His left, those who have rejected Jesus, He will say, depart from me, you who are cursed into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. We need to see the consequences of our choice. To make the right choice, we need to hear the truth. We need to hear that the heart of God is love. It is love and grace. We know the verse so well, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. In His love, God sent Jesus. In His grace, we can have forgiveness through His death on the cross. That is the heart of God. And then to make the right choice, we need to be prepared to keep the covenant. On that day, back in 3rd of July 2004, when I got married, what a wonderful day. I've got that date wrong once. Only once. Anyway, when we got married and I said, I do. I couldn't do as is warned in Deuteronomy 29:19, which I've already mentioned, about the person who hears the words of the oath and invokes a blessing, but thinks that they will be safe even though they persist in going their own way. I couldn't just take the blessings of marriage and just to continue to live life my own way to please just me. It wouldn't work. In fact, the marriage would be really short. We need to work at our marriages because we love our partner. They have our hearts. Our hearts are for them. Therefore, we sacrifice. We live to serve them, working together for each other. It's not always easy, but we stay faithful to that promise to experience the wonderful blessings of marriage. Anything else just wouldn't make sense. It is the same when we choose to follow Jesus. We don't make the decision and then continue to live our own way. We change our hearts. We have new hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit within us to help us to live to please Jesus. So we will then do as he says. We will live for his glory. He told us to therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. In that Matthew 25 section, it says, I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came and visited me. Whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. We are to show the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We are to live differently, live for the Lord. We all know, and I'm not going to go through it, but we all know the parable of the four soils. The fact is that if we are not bearing fruit, if we are not producing a harvest 30, 60 times like the good soil, we are probably then not keeping the promise we made. Maybe we need to renew our covenant, our promise, our commitment, our dedication, rededicate our lives to God. And this is the time and this is the place to do it. In the sanctuary, in the presence of God. This is a time to consider the four soils. Which of those four soils would we say we are in right now? And ask God to make us like the good soil. To remove whatever temptation, whatever root of temptation to worship other gods, other idols, which is within our hearts. To remove the weeds. To deepen our soil. So that our hearts are fully on for and for God. Let us choose life. Because we know the big picture of the work of Jesus, what he achieved for us on the cross. And we know the consequences of rejecting him and not living fully for him. And let us fall on his love and his grace and repent and be restored. Let us choose life. Let us live for Jesus. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you now with honest hearts. Hearts open to you. Lord, through your Holy Spirit, we pray that you will convict us of the sin that is within. Maybe that root of a sin or a temptation to worship other gods, which is within our hearts. Lord, we pray that you will reach into our hearts through your Holy Spirit and you will remove that root, that poison that can destroy our relationship with you. Lord, through your Holy Spirit, convict us. And Lord, through your Holy Spirit, give us victory. Give us victory over the sin and temptation in our lives so that we will live 100% for you. That we will be able to call ourselves your people who live for you, who do your work on this earth, who bring glory to your name through our actions, through our words, through our lives. Lord, let us experience your blessings, Lord, in our lives. Make us run away from the curses and from disobedience. Let us be an obedient people for you. Lord, we thank you for that big picture, for Jesus, for his work on the cross, and how we can be forgiven through accepting you, through choosing to live for you. Let us never lose our wonder in the cross. Let us choose you, your love and your grace, and keep that covenant we have with you, that promise we made to follow you all our days. Lord, help us to be faithful to you. Challenge us when we need challenged. Encourage us when we need encouraged. But Lord God, be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.